welcome to the Valley of Grace podcast, helping women reclaim their power and identity so they will know they are enough. We are breaking unhealthy relationship patterns, building resilience and flourishing, and creating an empowered new chapter of life. I am Coach Tina, and today I have a very special Chatting with Coach Tina session that I did a few months ago. And so without further ado, I'm going to take you right over into that session. And I want to thank Timothy Horton for bringing an intro and outro music every single week. Tina session. And today's topic is entitled Seven Signs of Being Infected with the Spirit of Unworthiness. Okay? So the first sign of being infected with the spirit of unworthiness is that you are the scapegoat / poison container / punching bag for any and all of your family members, okay? So we're going to take, for instance, Abraham's family. There was a sin of deception throughout that entire family. Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife and said that she was his sister. Then you have Isaac, who lied about Rebecca, and instead of saying that she was his wife, he also said Rebecca was his sister, okay? Then we move on to the children that Isaac and Rebecca had. They had Esau and Jacob. Jacob stole Esau's birthright, and this was all over a bowl of stew, okay? Then we have Rebecca, who decided to trick her own husband and to pull Jacob into it, okay? And Jacob's name means trickster. So she decides to pull Jacob into the mess, let's trick your father so that you can steal Esau's blessing, okay? And she put animal skin all over Jacob, fixed a stew out of goat meat, and he brought it into Isaac. And Isaac, he was feeble. His eyesight was poor. He noticed that the voice was Jacob's voice. However, all of the animal skin felt like Esau. He asked him, like, are you sure? Basically, like, are you lying to me? Are you who you say you are? Oh, yeah, I'm him. And he went on and blessed him anyway. And sure enough, here comes Esau running in the room. Oh my goodness, my blessing, please bless me. It was too late. He had already given the blessing to Jacob. So lots of deception going on. And unfortunately, that was not the end of the story. because of what Jacob did, he was running for his life, basically, because Esau was planning on killing him. So Jacob goes to Paddan Aram and goes there to find good old Uncle Laban, who is also a deceiver slash trickster himself. Okay. And Jacob falls in love with one of the two of Laban's daughters. And he falls in love with Rachel. But Laban, even though he agreed to give Jacob Rachel after he worked for him for 7 years, that was not what he was planning on doing. Okay. So Jacob finishes working for his wages of his good old Rachel. He's ready for Rachel. Good and ready for Rachel. And they have this big old wedding feast and all of that. And instead of Laban giving Rachel to Jacob, Laban gave Jacob Leah. So I'm thinking it probably was a combination of them having too much to drink and the fact that Leah was all covered up, that Jacob did not know which of the two sisters that he received until the following morning. And then later, you have Joseph, who ended up being the scapegoat slash punching bag, okay, slash poison container for his brothers. So the sin throughout this family of deception could just go on and on for days. Specifically for what I, my purpose is today, we're going to talk about Leah and her unworthiness. So we're back at Leah. Like I said, the point number one is you're the scapegoat slash poison container slash punching bag for any and all of your family members. Now, when the Bible speaks of Leah, they talk about her having a weak eye. And the Bible never gives us details that are not important. Okay. So that lets you know right there that she had a weak eye, and it speaks on and on about the attractiveness of Rachel. And that lets you know that that sets the stage for Leah's unworthiness. Okay. And a lot of times when you are used as a poison container slash punching bag slash scapegoat, because of your unworthiness, you feel that I deserve this type of treatment. I don't deserve better. Okay. I'm going to keep the peace by being quiet. And sometimes silence is in order, but then there are other times when we are silent, when it speaks volumes, because that silence means that we are a willing participant to have someone to sin against us. Okay. For example, everything that goes on in your family, when you have a spirit of unworthiness, you are blamed for. And then not only are you blamed for it, but you are handled as if you are a little child without any needs, any thoughts, or any convictions of your own. So one family member says, I'm mad. Okay, you know what? I'm going to dump it all on her. My kids are going through. My adult kids are not behaving right. Okay, you know what? I'm going to dump it all on her. Okay, my life is a wreck. Okay, and then I'm going to dump it all on her. I don't want to take responsibility for the way, the state in which my life is in, the way that I'm running my life currently. Okay, then I'm going to take it and I'm going to dump it all on her. So that's what happens when we are walking around in a sea of unworthiness. Everybody else thinks that they can use you to put all of their poison inside. Okay. And like I said, you think you're keeping the peace, but you are willingly participating in others sinning against you, and you are enabling them to say sin against you when you don't set up any boundaries for the situation. When you do speak up and you set up boundaries, that's how the tables get turned. Okay. And then what happens is that you will not function in the position that you are functioning in any longer because the tables have turned. You decided to speak up for yourself. Okay. Other than thinking, walking around in the spirit of unworthiness, I deserve to be talked to like this. I deserve for my soul to absorb everything else that everybody is bringing on to me. Point number two to let you know that you are walking around infected with a spirit of unworthiness. Your man is going to fill the void of your unworthiness. That is your thought, okay? Your man is going to fill the void of your unworthiness. And because we are all broken, we will always give people what we have from a broken lens. The only person that will give a 100% all-sufficient, perfect lens is God himself, okay? And we will not reach perfection until we get to heaven. So until then, people are not going to be able to satisfy. They cannot fit the bill of helping us to be worthy enough in ourselves, okay? We were designed to only be fulfilled and content by the worthiness that's obtained through our relationship with God, and that is through God alone, okay? But we keep trying to get this man to make us feel good about being ourselves. It could be a man, it could be our boss, it could be our ministry partner, it could be sisters and brothers in Christ, it could be our coworker, any and all of those people, but none of them can fill that void of unworthiness. And in Genesis 29:32, Rachel says, "Surely the Lord have looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me." Which she still, unfortunately, hadn't figured that out yet, that that was not going to happen. Okay? So number three, your baby is going to make the man fill your void. That's sign number three, that you are infected with a spirit of unworthiness. Okay? In Genesis 29:34, it says, "And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time my husband will be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi." Okay? And that is the oldest lie that Satan has us to believe as women. We can have 50 babies and only having a come to Jesus moment about what we've already been searching for through Christ's redemption is only going to be enough. That's the only thing that's going to fix us, realizing that Jesus has done the work on the cross, okay? And so God, because of Jesus doing the work on the cross and God adopting us as his daughters, through that adoption process, that's what makes us worthy. And until we do that, and until we get to the source of who or what made us feel unworthy, we will keep looking for that baby to make that man feel our void. And that's not what it is that you want to do. You will keep looking in that direction, okay? Having kids only exacerbates our own individual relationships, okay? Our own individual brokenness in our relationships is what I meant to say. And then it also exacerbates whatever problems are going on in your marriage or dating relationship in general, okay? Whatever didn't work out before will eventually come to the light when you are thinking that having a baby will cause a man to want to fill the void of your unworthiness. So we got point number four. The spirit of unworthiness is bleeding out everywhere, all over your kids, all over your coworkers, all over your extended family, all over your friends, all over the church members. It's bleeding out everywhere. It says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die." And that's in Genesis 30:1. So what Rachel decided to do, I guess God was not quick enough for her. She said, okay, here you go. And she gave her handmaid to Jacob to marry so that Jacob could have two children, okay? And she was going to feel like that. That's my children, all right? So Jacob had two sons by the handmaid. and Rachel was satisfied. Okay. So all the spirit of unworthiness that was on Lee in Leah's corner now is over in Rachel's corner. Okay. So you would think that that would be the end of it. But now we get to point number five. A spirit of unworthiness brings on other friends, okay? It brings on other spirits. You get a spirit of competition, deception, lying, envy, control, jealousy, and anger that gets added on, okay? And we already know that the deception and lying was under the belt already in Abraham's family. But that's what happens for number five. For the fifth sign that you are being infected with a spirit of unworthiness. I'm going to repeat it again. The spirit of unworthiness brings on a spirit of competition, deception, lying, envy, anger, jealousy, and control. Okay? So it's not just one thing, one issue you're having. It's several. And in Genesis 38, it says, and Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed, and she has called his name Naphtali. So think about that. Who said that it was a competition? God didn't. Leah didn't. But Rachel, in her own mind, that's what she came up with, okay? And that's what happens a lot of time. When we are swimming in a sea and spirit of unworthiness, we start to conjure up things in our own minds, okay? So then what happened is after Leah saw that Rachel had two sons by her handmaid, then Leah said, oh, well, I'm going to do the same thing too. So then Leah had her handmaid to marry Jacob, okay? She had two more sons. So what happens? Satan gets into our minds. He gets into the minds of our family members, our co-workers, ministry partners, friends, etc., and he makes them go to Fantasy Island and conjure up a competition that never existed, okay? Oh, I just got to buy more farmhouse decor, okay? Then that don't work. Oh, I need to go get the latest SUV. Then that don't work. I need to go design a mansion so my house can be bigger than hers, okay? And you go in debt doing it, okay? I got to get the latest clothes, the latest fashion, the latest shoes. I got to sign my kids up for more extracurricular activities, okay? Then that didn't do it. Oh, well, you know what? I got to lose more weight so I can look small like she do. And then if she gains weight, oh, well, she gained weight. Oh, praise God. You know, now I've wrestled with her and I've won. But we won because of the fact that we feel better about ourselves because someone else has gained more weight than we have. Really? We won. What battle have we won? Okay? At one of the companies I used to work at, okay, I used to work for, rather. There was some weird behavior going on. This was some years ago. And it was triggering, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me, why are people going around acting like that? What is going on? Okay? It didn't take too long for me to figure out. Literally, about 2 months after working there, I put two and two together, okay? I was able to come up with the source, all right? So at this particular company, you had to get a certain quota, okay? And that particular number was very, very important. But the thing about that number is people took it so seriously that their worthiness was based upon that one number, okay? And what happened was they were praised because of their performance. Because of them getting that one number, that quota, meeting that quota. But what happened though, in turn, because their worthiness was based upon that number, the spirit of competition came in. So they were competing among the coworkers to make sure that their numbers were higher than their coworker numbers. And then what happened was, not only was it the spirit of competition, then the spirit of lying was involved, okay? They got to the point that they would do anything to show that they are worthy of staying in a certain position. So they started stealing numbers from the other coworkers so they could be have an appearance of looking like they were worthy enough. Stealing numbers, lying, and reporting it. There was a spirit of envy, anger, control, competition, unworthiness, everything, you name it, it was there. It was all a breeding ground, and this was all over trying to show that you were able to get to this particular number. I mean, think about it. All of the foolishness that went on, okay? But this is what happens when we become infected with the spirit of unworthiness. We go way out to another level, and Satan has a field day with us. So now we have point number six, that you, the sixth sign that you've been infected with a spirit of unworthiness, okay? And number six is that your children have adopted your false beliefs / superstitions about resolving your unworthiness, okay? Kids need something physical or tangible to help them to reason out why something is going the way that it's going. And then if they can't find something to say, here, this will help make you feel better, mom or dad, then what they do is they turn it inward to themselves. Well, I have to be perfect, because if I'm perfect, then at least I won't upset the parent. Okay. Now, in Leah's case, her son Reuben went out and picked some mandrakes, okay, from out in the fields. And the superstition about mandrakes was that they were supposed to bring fertility and have some type of love potion. So how would Reuben know about this? And this goes to show, when that spirit of unworthiness is there, we don't realize we're like a tape recorder going on and on and on. And our children are sitting there consuming everything that we are saying. It's all that we talk about. So obviously it was all that she talked about if he was going out to the field looking for mandrakes for her to help her to have another baby. Okay, which brings me to the last and the final sign, the seventh sign that you've been infected with a spirit of unworthiness. You lower your standards in a romantic relationship and every other relationship after that. Okay? So you lower your standards in your romantic relationship. That is the seventh sign. So what ended up happening is, after Reuben got the mandrakes, then Rachel approaches Leah. Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. Okay, that was in verse 14 of chapter 30 in Genesis. So they end up making a deal where Rachel got the mandrakes, and she says, okay, Leah, Jacob is with you for tonight to spend time with you. Now, you know, that is one of the, it seems like one of the craziest things ever. But when sin gets involved and our brokenness is leading us, that is the exact same thing that happens. Okay, you find yourself questioning whether you are a Christian because you have lowered your standards, believing if you participate in this or that, it will solve the problem. But it doesn't. When you lower your standards, it brings on more shame, and that shame brings on more shame, and that shame brings on more unworthiness, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And the next thing you know, you're asking yourself, how did I get here? Okay? And you got there because you wanted your worthiness to be filled by a man instead of God. Okay? And the refusal to dig deeper into the source of the problem. Okay? So remember, we're going back to this. We're always going back to the source of the problem in order for us to be able to resolve the problem. Okay? And if we're staying on the surface, that's the comfort zone. Nothing's happening there. But digging down to the roots is going to help us to get to the source of the problem. So I just want to do a quick recap before I close. The seven signs of being infected with the spirit of unworthiness. Number one, you are the scapegoat / poison container / punching bag for any and all of your family members. Number two, your man is going to fill the void of your unworthiness. Number three, your baby is going to make your man fill the void of your unworthiness. Number four, the spirit of unworthiness is bleeding out everywhere. Number five, the spirit of unworthiness brings other spirits along, such as competition, lying, deception, envy, jealousy, anger, control. Number six, your children have adopted your false beliefs / superstitions about resolving your unworthiness. And then the final one is number seven, and that is you lower your standards in your romantic relationship and every other relationship. So those were the seven signs of being infected with a spirit of unworthiness. And I hope that something I said resonated with you that will help you to move forward. And as I always love to say before signing off, you are enough, okay? You can reclaim your power and identity today. The choice is always yours. Your worthiness and enoughness is only found in Christ. Until next time, God bless.
So much I wish I could give back, but I'm not intact to be sharing all of that. You took the price to give me that life, and now it's never gonna fade away. When I see upon my ears, and I won't go back the way it was again, 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 and now. A valley of grace where things would change. I've seen the light, so. So much for me.